Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. I've got an article here dealing with possibly our next president of the United States, Hillary Rodham Clinton. She is speaking at Georgetown University, and I want you to listen to what she has to say as she addresses a body of students and faculty at the university concerning foreign relations.
Women are not just victims of conflict. They are agents of peace and agents of change. Consider what has happened recently in the Philippines. Mindanao, the second largest island in the Philippines, has been locked in a 40-year conflict. The Moro Islamic Liberation Front was battling the government. More than 120,000 lives were lost. Hope for peace was all but gone when two strong women, Teresita Quintas Deles and Miriam Coronel Ferrer, took over the negotiations. They made inclusivity their mantra. And thanks greatly to their efforts, finally a peace was brokered in a historic deal. This is what we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and, insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view, helping to define the problems, determine the solutions. That is what we believe in the 21st century will change the prospects for peace.
All right, so what are we going to do with that? This is a unique dilemma, perhaps. We have Matthew 5:43. Jesus said, "You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So what are we to do with this? How are we to put this together in our mind? Hillary said, leave no one on the sidelines, show respect as much as possible, empathize, define the problem, make inclusivity your mantra. She pronounced it mantra. Maybe that's the correct pronunciation. What are we to do with this? How are we to understand this? As soon as these words were spoken, the media went crazy. Various opinion talking heads began to pontificate about the fact that Hillary has lost her mind and is no longer a legitimate contender for president of the United States. Of course, I think that's ridiculous. I believe that the memory of the American population is about 30 seconds in duration, and that these words will virtually be off the radar in a matter of days at best. And yet it does bring to our attention a conversation that we need to have this morning. And that is, what is the difference, or should there be, or is there a legitimate difference between a preacher and the president of the United States? I mean, if in fact Clinton was speaking as a religious leader and she was preaching to us about leaving no one on the sidelines and showing respect and empathizing with our enemies and defining the problem and seeking solutions and making inclusivity our mantra, then we may very well say amen and amen. But the difficulty, in my view, is she formerly was the Secretary of State and is no doubt going to run for President of the United States. And so, from that perspective, is it legitimate for a governing authority to say respect your enemies, and how should we understand respect your enemies? That's a unique perspective. Should we, in fact, respect Al-Qaeda? Should we, in fact, respect ISIS? Should we seek to empathize with fundamental radical Muslims who are seeking to promote and enforce an agenda that would utterly eliminate Christianity off of the face of the planet? Is that an agenda? In other words, is there a degree to which Christ's words were spoken to individual believers who have a unequivocal responsibility to love their enemies, to pray for them as best they can each and every day by the grace of God? And can we separate that from the God-ordained governing authority, a nation state who has a responsibility to enforce that which is right, to punish evil doers? Is there a degree to which we can draw a line between the two? I want to share with you two scriptures that I think speak to the issue. The first comes from Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So they are, in fact, according to verse 4, ministers or servants of God for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he, that is the governing authority, bears not the sword in vain. For he is a servant or minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So if we think about the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor, if we think about Stalin wiping out millions, if we think about Hitler destroying millions of Jews, are we to respect that? Is there any degree to which we are to make sure that they're not left on the sidelines? I mean, I want you to think about how ridiculous those comments are, and yet at the same time, I want you to remember that this will probably be the next president of the United States, and that it really doesn't matter what she says, what comes out of her mouth. The American population is probably going to rally behind her in mass and vote for our first female president, which would just be a wonderful thing to have a female president. But I'm not sure that she is the right contender in the world that we're living in. Leave no one on the sidelines. So don't leave Stalin on the sideline. Don't leave Hitler on the sideline. Don't leave those men on the sideline. Make sure that they're included into the discussion. Make sure that the extreme Muslim radicals who are seeking to destroy America's way of life, do your best to empathize with them. Show respect for their killing of Christians, their beheading. Empathize as best you can psychologically with their perspective. It's insane. How is she allowed to speak this way without any legitimate repercussions? 1 Peter chapter number 2, submit yourselves, verse 13, to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or the governors as unto them that are sent by him, that is the Lord, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God. So here we have the words of Christ and the apostolic letters, both of which are inspired by God, both are words of God, both provide instruction to us, and I think the means by which we reconcile this is understanding the individual mandate that is presented and the reality that there is a legitimate governing authority that is in existence until the coming of Christ for the primary purpose of those who do evil and beheading people people is evil. Capturing, kidnapping someone, and then demanding a ransom in order to fund your evil agenda is wrong. And these things must be punished. And if in any way, shape, or form, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect as much as possible, psychologically empathizing with your enemies, if those things get in the way of your ability or intent or plan to punish those who are evil, then you're not the right candidate to be the leader of the governing authority that exists to do that. So those are my thoughts. What are yours? Would you join the discussion? Would you take the time to post a comment and see whether you agree with the reconciliation that I attempted to provide between the individual mandate to love your enemies and the requirements of the governing authority to punish those who do evil? Thanks for listening. Have a great day.